The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
From sunny California to the world, it's the Nate Darling Show. Featuring Jason Casey, Sam Platts, Kareem Daniels, and Diana Hong. And now, remember, the show is free. Here's Nate.
Hey, everybody. It's the Friday episode.
Frizzy out of baby.
What?
Yes.
And I'm feeling fine.
Coming up on the show today, Maine's governor has a fun new idea.
Hope it's better than Michigan's governor.
Well, you remember Maine's governor. He's the one who was talking about the guys named Shifty coming up there and impregnating the white women after
they sold
the drugs.
Where are the white women at?
We will hear from a young Ted Cruz. If you're wondering what an 18-year-old Ted Cruz think, we got it. Captured on video. Plus lots more fun for you. But first, hey, everybody. Weekend plans? Anybody at all? Jason.
Yes. Do I have a... do not know what my Saturday plans are. I think I have a show on Saturday night.
Going to go to the Home Depot?
Maybe
pick up a couple things? Nice little Saturday?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not exactly sure what the plan is.
I just love hanging out in the lumber yard. Mm. Smells so good, the fresh pine.
I like just sitting out there with the guys waiting for the day labor.
Yes. You know,
having a cup of coffee
have
with
them.
Have
some nice conversation, work on your Spanish.
Yeah.
Well, you know, line from old school. It's a nice little Saturday.
Oh, that's what you're dropping lines over here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, I would have thought everyone would have seen old school. It's not like
it's been a while.
I'm like horrible at that.
I'm not the guy who memorizes the lines. I'm so terrible at that.
Well, you don't have to know all of them.
Just this one, though.
You're my boy, Blue!
I know that one.
That one he
that's
knows.
A good one.
I know
that's
that
a good one.
Who doesn't know that?
Kareem, holy shit, it's...
Excuse me.
It can't install updates.
Sorry
oh,
about
no!
that.
Oh, no! Everybody, get down! You can't install updates.
I know. Whoa. Kareem, anything big planned this weekend?
There's something going on Sunday that I can't remember what it's called.
The Pro Bowl?
At the Soul Collective. No, it's a show that I'm a part of.
it should be a good one.
Mercy, man.
Everybody get your tickets now. It's going to be a good one.
No. Wait. I'm wrong. That's next Sunday.
Okay.
Thank God. Let's get us get the right information on next.
Oh, week. So the Garvey Market is Sunday. That's one of the things I'm thinking of.
Okay.
So if you're an artist or artisan and you have wares to sell, it'll be over by the Soul Collective Sunday from I think it's from 11 to 4. So I'll be helping set that up.
And where is the Soul Collective for people who don't have soul?
It's off of 21st and Broadway.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. So not too far from Poncho's.
Right.
And right by the trophy shop that looks like it's never open.
Yep. It's like right up. It's like a block up from
Every city has a trophy shop that looks like it's never open.
Yeah. It's like, what are they doing?
They're in the back making participation trophies. By the way, have you guys seen the commercial where the guy's walking back to the SUV with his son, and he's got this inner monologue going about how they were champs, but the kid just got a participation trophy.
Yeah.
And he prized the participant plaque off the bottom of the trophy and writes champs on it in Sharpie.
That's funny. That's crazy that they did that to him. Remember James Harrison for the Steelers?
Yes.
Yeah, he took his kids' participation trophies and gave them back.
And it was, in fact, an African-American actor that they chose for that role.
Yeah.
Shocking enough. Sam, any big plans this weekend? Any X-Files viewings?
You know, definitely looking forward to the next episode, but that's on Monday.
Right.
This weekend, I have one of my best friends. He's born on the same day as me and my twin.
Yes, Ethan.
This is not Ethan. This is Ethan? David, mutual.
But, okay.
Well, David has a brother named Jonathan, who I'm also friends with. Not quite as close, but he's a very interesting character. He's a character actor. I think he would do very well in a Tim Burton film.
He's a young Abe Vigoda. Go ahead.
There you go. And he moved to LA to pursue his acting and whatnot. And he's There's a very popular DraftKings commercial you see on TV. It's been airing for over a year. He's in that one. He plays the nerd with the ponytail and the glasses. Anyhow, this guy is in a band called Hot Sauce Holiday that they it's not just a band. They call it a rock and roll cabaret show.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Okay, and I mean, they're outstanding. They do some crazy shit. They've got this chick. Her name is Christiana Sin, who was on the cover of Penthouse this last month. Is one of the people who acts, and they get the crowd like participating. Well, they're having a show. They just had a show on
Stop.
Wednesday mm-hmm. here you in Sacramento.
You had me at Penthouse,
right? they just had a show at the Blue Lamp here in Sacramento on the 27th,
right?
But Saturday they're in Dixon at Luke's Lounge, just because
wow,
you know, we got connections there. It's gonna be off the charts, dude.
Yeah, you could go out to, like, Rutstaller, get some brews, and then head on
straight
over to the
up,
show.
Dude. Straight up.
I still have exactly. not done that.
Oh, we got to make that happen.
You know what? We do. We'll do that some weekend. We'll meet out in Dixon and do
great.
That. Or, you know, we could carpool.
We could carpool now.
Because you don't live in Dixon
I no longer
anymore.
Live in that area.
There's a little microbrew opening in Davis, too, and I forget the name of it off the top of my head.
Mm. We could do a double dip.
But they had a...
double dip.
They apparently had a Kickstarter that went well, and they posted a photo on their Facebook page of the application for a liquor license.
It's happening.
So
dreams
yeah, it's happened
true, folks.
Happened all over the place. So yeah, this good stuff. We actually, Leslie and I went out to YOLO Brewing and had a couple of beers.
How was that?
Actually, we did a flight. It was really good. And at YOLO Brewing Company, they allow people to come in and you can make your own beer,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a cool thing. So we're kind of kicking around the idea of maybe making our own brew that we would serve at our wedding.
Oh.
No way!
They also and YOLO also does custom labels if you bottle the beer, so they can do like nice. Yes, that is a very attractive young woman on the cover of Penthouse.
Maybe I'll be doing that. So this Saturday,
Saturday night, Luke's Lounge, Dixon.
So we're kind of kicking around ideas for the wedding and kind of what we want to do, and a lot of it's going to come down to where we have it and kind of how we do stuff like that. So it's a very interesting time to go, because here's the thing about a wedding: you can make it as crazy or fancy as you want. It's basically a blank slate for a contract signing.
Right
is really what it is.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Just keep it simple.
Yeah, and we're either getting married on Black Friday or the day after that. It's kind of dependent. If we'd wanted to do it at the library downtown, as I talked about on the last show, we would have to do it on Saturday because it's a public building and they're all government employees. They are off on Thanksgiving and the day after, and they're closed, so nothing. So let me give you an idea. Not dealing with them. Because I started to think about it, and I'm like, do I really want a government worker who has literally no incentive to service my needs in a timely or above and beyond manner, the one who is helping out on my most important of days?
No.
Exactly.
No, I would argue not.
Exactly.
They should rent it to an outside company.
You can. I mean, you can get your own wedding planner, and you can do all that. But
they should do that on the day that they're closed and make some extra revenue for the
right.
city or state.
Hey.
No,
you
somebody
should run for office,
my
friend.
Somebody has to be there. And you know, one of their extra things is you need to have a security guard because it's right near where the hobos sleep.
Yeah.
Is this in McKinley Park area?
No. It's on I Street. Kitty corner from City Hall.
Oh yes.
So there's
yeah. And they'd be lining up.
Yeah.
To get in because
where's the cake at?
No. They'd be lining up to get in the library. Period.
Well, and the library would be closed at the time when we would have the thing anyway. And there's a hallway between the thing, and it really is a nice venue. It's just not for us. It just really isn't. We're looking for more of a. Here are our ideas. Here's how we want it to come off, and we don't want to be out there setting up tables and bullshit like that on the wedding day.
I'm telling you, like, going with a venue that can do all of that for like we did with the hotel, like it helps you so much. Like they have the napkins, the tablecloths, like the settings, just like nobody once said anything about like, oh my God, are these from the hotel? Like for the anything. Like
anybody says that, smack them in the fucking coop. Because
it just keep it classy.
You're here for my wedding. Fucking,
keep it like who you guys are, you know? Yeah. Like, I mean, just like have it be a representation of you. I would expect it to be a baseball game.
Well, my whole thing, and here's what I told somebody I met with earlier today as we're recording this, and on Friday we're meeting with another place. I said, look, I want everything to go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, because I don't want anybody to have the time to think about what they want to bitch about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody to have the time to think about, oh, these shoes make my feet hurt, or, oh, where are they? I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Oh, why are they out taking photos? Why is this taking so long? I want to eat. I don't want any of that. I don't want any of that from anybody on the wedding day. And not because I don't want to hear them bitch. I don't. But because I want everybody to have a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, for a lot of people, that snowballs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of that in the past, letting stuff snowball. Yeah. Like, one thing bugs you, and then the next thing bugs you, and the next thing bugs you. And you don't need that.
You do a quick 30-minute ceremony, a cocktail hour
that's
following
not, that's
it.
That's not a quick ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, like, it actually, with the people walking down the aisle and stuff like that. anyhow, it's just 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, hour, cocktail hour, and then dinner right afterwards,
and then dancing,
I say, and bam, just bam, bam, bam.
Everyone, as they're walking into the reception area, ceremony area, grabs a shot, and they take a shot before they sit down, and then at the end on their way out, they grab another shot. Then they're going into the reception area, they grab a shot. No one's gonna give a fuck about shit at that point.
Yeah, but
you do understand that your folks do not handle hard liquor well, right?
Oh, that's true. Some people you don't want doing that.
You know what? The lady at the library said the same thing, because she asked, are you going to have like beer and wine, or are you going to have beer, wine, and hard liquor? Because a lot of times we find things get a little out of hand when there's hard liquor.
Well, bring in the mariachi, bro, because we're going to have a good time.
So,
does it make you really want to do business, does it? Like, it's like, don't want anybody getting rowdy. Like,
right.
Beer and wine, y'all do okay with. Anything harder than that, that's some shit going on.
You need to come meet my family. Like,
the wine, why
they, can handle it. Like, but it's not, it doesn't get crazy. Like, there's hammered people at my wedding, but it didn't get crazy.
That can happen. I've suggested a cash bar, which was shot down immediately. I have suggested a drink token system.
That's cute.
Shot down.
It's shot down. Like, you, no, you we're going to have it.
You do understand bar. That. Okay, this is your third one. So you do understand that today has nothing to do with you, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay,
of course.
Just making sure.
But that doesn't stop the questions about, I want to know what's important to you. And I guarantee that my betrothed does want to know what's important to me.
She wants to know that.
And I'm going to completely separate. And the ones I've had in the past, my experience has been this. The only things I was asked my opinion on were things that I could not give a fuck less about.
Right.
The
what about these flowers?
Literally, there are about three things a guy cares about at his wedding. And for me, the number one thing is, when I sit down to eat dinner, I want the plate to have food on it that I like. I don't want it to be some foofy bullshit. I want it to be good food that I like. That's number one. Number two, I don't want people with an open bar to be drinking half of their drink. Listen, fucker, I had to pay for the whole thing. If you're going to get it, you're going to fucking drink it. Or you're going to have the common courtesy to fucking dump it in a bush.
Right. Well, so I don't have to see it.
There was like open bottles of wine on tables, and like my family at the end of that was just drinking bottles out of the bag, because they're like, we're not letting it go to waste.
This one's for you, baby.
Well, see, with my second wedding, it was, We had the bar, and it was like, well, drinks and beer are $4 each, wine, $7 each. Oh. And there were these bitches who had like three or four half-drank glasses of wine. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? So there's $30, like $30 per person that they're wasting, just wasting.
Yeah.
On the table. So There was a table. There was like $200 worth of wasted drinks on the table, and it's like, you know what? You're an asshole.
Yes.
Because I guarantee you didn't cover the $200 in alcohol and the however much your food was and all that stuff.
You gotta get by, you gotta get those people that charge by the person. Like, and it's like $34 per person per hour.
There's a lot of,
because like then it's like,
and that's the thing.
Some people can pick up the slack.
Well, they will.
Well, it all evens out. But that's the thing, and that's why we want to visit multiple places, right? Because there's a lot of different options.
They have a lot of options,
and you can just sort of go in with that.
Yeah.
And to be fair, like my first wedding, I was telling somebody this story today. I got married at a VFW hall. Or was American Legion.
That's so classic.
American Legion. Either way, one of the two.
So like 1950s, like 1960s. Like.
Well, it was cheap and it had a good view. And and so we had everything set. They're like, oh yeah, we're going to have the ceremony here. And then you go out and have your pictures and then we'll turn it over and set the tables up and you'll have dinner.
Oh no.
It was fine.
Oh, did they do it quick?
Oh, yeah. They were fine. The only problem was, and it wasn't really a problem so much as odd. So I'm standing there, and we have literally just started. The bride has just walked up, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a gentleman walking in with a baseball cap on. You know, one of those military ones that talks about where they served?
Right.
He walks. I see him appear in the door, and they've warned us that this is, it's either American Legion or VFW. Doesn't matter which one. That it is always open to veterans.
Right.
Always open to veterans.
Yeah.
So this veteran walks up to the door, barely pauses, sees there's a wedding going on, and then immediately walks along the edge, around the edge to the bar, which is right behind where the bride is. So yeah. I'm looking over. I've got eyesight on this guy as he's doing this whole walk.
This is a VFW hall.
Yeah. Okay. And okay, he sits down at the bar, and I clearly hear him say, "Give me a bud."
Yep.
Classic.
In the middle of
this bud's for you, okay, bro.
Now, you would think, now granted, he served our country in whatever manner he did. Killed the Kaiser, fought Hitler, arm wrestled the Korean guy, punched Ho Chi Minh in the nuts. I don't know what he did. But he was bound to determine if they didn't stop him, no wedding was going to stop him from having his Budweiser.
Hell no,
right?
Whereas I would have went, oh shit, I'm just going to... If I was like, well, it's a VFW hall, I would have gone out and sat in my car for like 20 minutes because that's really all it would have taken.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And he stayed for like maybe two beers and left. So he wasn't even there that long. Oh. It was just, and it was like one in the afternoon. So it's one in the afternoon. We'll have a couple beers. This is like, wow. Okay.
He's just an asshole. Yeah.
He's just listen, a bitter old man. American hero.
He was an asshole.
He was just really thirsty.
Maybe he was. Maybe he was like getting somewhat senile, and like he didn't realize what
he was
doing.
An asshole.
Yeah, you don't walk up at a wedding and then just go, "It's my VFW hall."
Having served and having a bunch of knowing a bunch of people who have served, he's an asshole.
He's an asshole who misses his dead wife, and he saw the wedding and thought of how happy he was on his wedding, and then he had to drown his sorrows in a second.
He was
butt.
Like, fuck her. Fuck them.
Give me my fucking beer.
Give me my fucking beer. Yeah.
And put it on their tab.
Give me my Budweiser.
Give me a fucking American-made Budweiser.
That's right.
Red, white. Boom.
And I'll have a Bud Light just to add the blue.
So, no. Forgive me if I don't know how to pronounce this. Rapper Bobby Ray Simmons, more widely known as, is it B.O.B. or Bob?
B.O.B.
B.O.B.
Okay.
Well, rock the B.O.B.
He's taken to Twitter insisting the world is flat.
Yes.
It's true. And the man behind such chart-topping hits as Nothing on You and Airplanes posted a flurry of tweets and pictures telling his 2.3 million followers, quote, "I didn't want to believe it either." See, he laid out his case that the world, if the world were in fact round, it would be obvious when looking at the horizon. He says cities in the distance would not be visible as they would be obscured by the Earth's curvature. And he posted a bunch of stuff online. He also tweeted numerous photographs taken at high altitude, which he said supports his point that no matter how high in elevation you are, the horizon is always at eye level.
Stop it. Stop it.
Including this one. It's a photograph of the railroad. It says the London and Northwestern Railway forms a straight line 180 miles long between London and Liverpool. The railroad's highest point midway at Birmingham Station is only 240 feet above sea level. If the world were actually a globe, however, curving 8 inches per mile squared, the 180 mile stretch of rail would form an arc with the center point at Birmingham raising over a mile, a full 5,400 feet above London and Liverpool. This went on for quite some time, until Neil deGrasse Tyson got wind of it.
Me and my girlfriend was talking about yesterday about people who are bad at math.
Rappers are right in there.
Yeah, stop it.
So he tweeted back after a lot of this stuff. He said, Earth's curve indeed blocks 150, not 170 feet of Manhattan, but most buildings in Midtown are way taller than that. So then he tweeted back a picture. And then Neil deGrasse Tyson tweeted back, Polaris has gone by 1.5 degrees south latitude. You've never been south of Earth's equator. Or if so, you've never looked up.
Exactly.
However, none of that logic swayed the rapper, because why would it? He seems to have challenged the cosmologist in a rap battle.
The Earth.
Oh, I hope this is for real.
Oh, it's real. He recorded it in the middle of the night and put it on SoundCloud. Here's...
Yeah, you ain't seen my best. Checkmate in a game of chess. Globalists see me as a threat. Free thinking, got a world at my neck, ha! Huh? And my paranoid picture Malcolm X in a room full of bigs trying not to bust a sweat, ayy. Neil Tyson need to loosen up his vest. They probably write that man one hell of a check, ayy. I'm over here on this side of town. Come on over here, try to clown. Ayy, I'd never pipe down. If they weren't coming for me, then they definitely coming for me now. Can't even keep my phone charged up. All the shit I'm talking, I should get my home barred up. Rappers, get off of my dick and get your home bars up. Vladimir and Liz's breath got the clone skirt, cuz whoop. Use your common sense. Why is NASA part Department of Defense? They divided up the seas into 33 degrees. Feeding kids masonry, bro. Be careful what you read. Flatline, flatline. There's no superior bloodline. Flatline, flatline. You got me once, but that died. Ay, voice, voice. Do I have a voice? Do I give a fuck? Do I have a choice? Joint, joint. I roll up a joint. Keep my shooters in the game like I hate to disappoint.
Hold on, he rolled up a joint?
No.
While coming up with this stuff? This deep thinking?
It's
what?
A dope flow, though. His flow is legit.
No one's disputing his ability to rap.
Even Neil deGrasse Tyson was like, hey, that doesn't mean we can't like your music.
Right.
Because you're a dumbass. Yeah.
Dumb as fuck, but you got a flow, bro.
He finally had sort of the last word, said, if my tweets are rattling the tiny little cages of your reality, the unfollow button is right there.
No, you're a dumbass.
Listen, stick to what you know, which is rapping.
last week it was Tila Tequila, noted whore and idiot, talking about the world being flat. Where is this coming from?
Where's this coming from?
Suddenly the world is flat again.
Where did this come from?
The 1500s is where it came from.
Right.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
By the way, go to the Pacific Ocean and look. You can see it curving.
Yeah.
It's visible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't drive through Sacramento and everything be on the same level.
Right. Well, in his theory about the railroad, it's like, okay, even if your math were right, you'd be assuming that sea level is the same everywhere. And it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not. Anyway, I don't have enough time on B.O.B.
Curious.
D-U-M-B is what that is.
It's like a plague that just spreads. It's horrible.
That's
like,
what happens when you don't educate people in school. For real.
That's why
you educate them
swayed.
On the internet.
Well, they don't get taught logic, how to think for themselves.
Hold on. I believe he is thinking for himself.
Well, thinking using logic. Somebody's putting this in his head. Yeah. Somebody is convincing planted this information in his head and is taking money out of his pocket with it. Probably. Like there's some, no, it's not even a probably.
Yeah. Like, oh, bro, they getting over on you. The world ain't really flat. It's round. Yeah. I mean, it ain't really round. It's flat.
That's what the white man wants you to believe.
That's what. That's exactly what they told.
Seriously, all you have to tell a lot of black guys is that's what white people want you to believe, and they're like, oh, fuck that noise. Yep. They're out.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding?
Damn. He's like, sorry, bro, I was wrong. It's not flat either. It's actually triangular. I need more money.
It's actually more like an egg.
It's very oval. Yeah.
Well,
like, I'm like, well, how the fuck does he think the sun and the moon? How does the sun come up?
They're magical entities that are gods.
How did the sun come up over here and end up over here?
They're children that
and
were cast out.
How come both the sun and the moon look spherical when you stare at them? And why would our planet be any different?
Simple. It was the founders who died here thousands of years ago.
It's actually a hole in the thinner lining of the time and space network. I don't know. Whatever.
Because that was what I thought. I was like, well, how the fuck does he explain the sun and the moon going around? Yeah.
Listen, he hasn't gotten to that yet. He still has way more weed to smoke.
He's stuck on the picture of the
railroad
track.
He's just
going
to roll it up.
Going to roll it up.
Oh, boy. Hey, sitcom creator Lena Dunham is standing up to the rabidly sexist media coverage of her girl, Hillary Clinton. The outspoken comedian is specifically enraged at the repeated use of code words. By the way, code words such as shrill, inaccessible, and frumpy to describe the Democratic frontrunner, and she's pushing for a ban on the word crimes. Fuck you.
Shrill. Frumpy?
She said, I literally want to make a list that we hand media outlets to say, these are the words you can't use when describing a female candidate.
I never even heard the word frumpy until an ex-girlfriend told me, it's Frumpy Friday, and she's going to wear her sweatpants. Like, I didn't even know that word existed.
It was
a woman who told me that
word. It's not a word that men use.
No. Women keep each other down with that word. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I just think Lena Dunham, I mean, gosh, man.
I wish she were as smart as she thought she was.
Trying to figure out who gave her a fucking show.
Judd Apatow.
And why?
Judd Apatow.
No, I don't. It's harder to be a white woman in Hollywood than it is a black man. Or a black person.
Yeah.
And she got this shit show. I don't understand.
Well, she's claiming that Clinton's under scrutiny not typically experienced by male candidates, saying the way that Hillary Clinton's been talked about in the media is so gendered and rapidly sexist in every single portrayal, whether it's the attacks on her personal life or the adjectives that are used to describe her clothing, we have to do a full reexamination.
The thing is like, she's like arguing for, like, she's using an argument that's not valid for her case in any way right now because Bernie Sanders has not said one thing about how she looks or anything. Her one prime person that she has to run against right now has not used that. And she's saying the media is saying that.
Yeah, she's saying it's the media.
But, like who has more money from the media and who's gotten more money from the media conglomerates than her compared to Bernie Sanders? So I'm just, come on, guys.
Well, Bernie doesn't even get the coverage that he should be getting.
The DNC scheduled things around you, Ms. Clinton. Come on, Lena, you are being, I don't know. I have friends that are
Lena Dunham.
I have a friend that's a woman also, and she is like really staunch like Hillary Clinton, and it's because she is a woman.
It's not. She says it's not. Nothing makes her more angry than when you say she's supporting her because she's a woman.
I know that what her values are, and I know that she's an intelligent woman, and I can't see how there can be any other reason. She's part of the LGBTQ community. She know, like, I just don't get it, man. Especially,
is she part of the community?
Well, this woman that I know is, like.
Oh no, I meant Lena Dunham.
I was confused.
No.
The woman that I know that likes Hillary. Anyhow.
Sure.
I've had thoughts about, Hillary's attire, but I haven't really heard that much on the media. Well, I've heard a lot more about Donald Trump's face and his hair and his weird tan and his makeup and.
Let me put it to you this way. Hillary Clinton was walked out wearing some very odd things. It would be akin if a Bernie Sanders strolled out on stage dressed in a long black coat and a turtleneck underneath it.
Yeah.
Like, if Bernie Sanders Bernie Sanders walked out on stage dressed like Shaft, I think people would notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. I'm pretty yeah. sure they would
You're
say
trying
something.
Too hard. To reach the brotherhood right now.
There's like a blue business suit. Yeah, it's
right. He's a badass mother. Watch your mouth.
And the only thing I've said is that I don't really want someone as my president who doesn't wear socks. Like, look, I expect my president to wear socks.
Yeah.
Is what
nothing
saying.
More American.
It's true.
You got the red socks,
or
the
stockings.
White socks.
At least stockings. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. It's fine. But she's
barefoot around the White House.
By the way, Sam, you should be very upset because Lena Dunham is often known as a spokesperson for millennials. So,
God damn it.
She's out there speaking for you.
I mean, I've only recently come. Did I tell you about my epiphany moment?
No, go ahead.
I was in my homeland of Truckee, and I was in this very hip burger joint called Burger Me that had Guy Fieri's spray-painted name on the wall.
Oh, so you know it's good.
And I'm like, right. I just ordered the Euro lamb burger, and I'm like feeling good about it. And I sit down in the bathroom. And,
oh, no.
And I see myself in the mirror. And I'm like, I kind of look like a cliche bearded hipster, don't I? And then, hold up. And then this song comes on that is a cliche millennial hipster pop song. I'm like, God, I dig this song. I don't know why. Fuck, I'm a cliche millennial hipster.
Did you have on those pink pants?
No, I wasn't wearing my salmon colored, my rose colored pants.
Man, just be out with it. Say it's pink, dude. Don't worry about it. It's your favorite color.
No, this is pink right here. Let me
own
pull
it.
That up. That's pink.
No, he is wearing
this
pink
is
underwear.
Rose.
He is wearing. Oh, come on, Kareem. They're the underwear. All right. Those are definitely
I'm sure there's a flap in the front for him to pull his dick.
There
out
is
through.
A nice little dick flap.
Yeah.
So we're good.
That's the important thing. Well, at least you know what you are. Yeah. And self-awareness is the most important thing.
I just came to accept it.
Well, you know what? And for me, I, about a year ago, came to the realization that there's a lot of hipstery things that I like.
Right.
It's just, you know what? I'm not all in, but, you know, I've had the facial hair.
Yes, you did. And it looked really good.
I had the facial hair. I do enjoy.
Like to spin some vinyl?
Spin some vinyl. Yeah. I like craft beer. Mm-hmm. I'm not a skinny jeans guy, but... Yeah. You know, if I could pull it off, maybe
nobody should be.
Maybe I would be.
They're very comfortable. A lot of support.
A lot of support. No, it's called tightness.
You don't suffer from the scrote to the leg thing. Scrote to thigh syndrome. You know what I'm talking about? We have to peel it off.
No, but you suffer from the balls to the kidneys thing.
Exactly.
All right.
We all have our problems.
So enough about Lena Dunham. Donald Trump's actual official spokesperson, Katrina Pearson, can't stop referring to people as though they're dogs. See, last week she made headlines when an old but still undeleted tweet of hers, which she lamented there were no pure breeds running for president back in 2012. Here's the tweet. Perfect Obama's dad born in Africa. Mitt Romney's dad born in Mexico. Any pure breeds left? Hashtag CNN debate. This is Donald Trump's spokesperson. Official spokesperson, not crazy Hollywood spokesperson.
Well, if there were any pure breeds, you can take them and trade them for some crack cocaine. I can see her desire.
It's true. If you look at it that way. Yeah. Well, she was on CNN recently where she was asked if she would like to retract that tweet. And she said, no, not at all. Look at these tweets. I'm an activist and I'm a half breed. I'm always getting called a half breed. And on Twitter, when you're fighting with Twitter and even establishment, you go back at them in the same silliness they're giving you. So I myself am a half breed. And the question says, so you're saying that that's just silliness? She said, absolutely. So, who knows if she thinks she's Cher. I really don't know.
Man, yeah, man. What's up?
What did I miss?
Oh, I'm just looking at Kareem.
Yeah, Kareem looks pretty perplexed. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He's giving up.
I'm asking what's up with her.
I don't even know, man.
It's like a, what's up with that? Someone just needs to find Kenan Thompson and ask, what's up with that? Ooh, wee! What's up with that?
What's up with that?
Oh, by the way, hold on. I have, there we go, a little bit of reverb for everybody.
Like, hey, that? We Ooh. Got some reverb in the house.
Ooh, ooh wee! What's up with that? What's up with that? See?
You can't see me, but I'm dancing like Jason Sudeikis. Right?
Yeah, you are.
All right, that's enough of that for
that
now.
Was dynamite.
We need to use that judiciously or people will stop listening.
They already did. Ooh, there goes another one.
Come back.
Don't turn it off.
Yeah, we're just about here from an 18-year-old Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
What would an 18-year-old Ted Cruz want?
Is that like sweat on my butt? No. Oh, I see. What you want me to do, what I want to do in life.
By the way, don't ever conduct an interview with your subject sitting right next to a fucking fountain.
For real.
Because that's what that sound is.
Well, my aspiration is to, be in a teen tit film like that guy who played Horatio. You know, he was in Malibu Bikini Beach Shop. Well, other than that, take over the world. World domination, you know, rule everything. Rich, powerful, that sort of stuff.
Ted Cruz, rich, powerful.
Trying to take over the world.
World domination.
It's crazy to think Ted's going to rule the world one day.
I hope.
Okay, so somebody found an old thing right after that where they went and talked to Ted's father, Rafael Cruz, who is Cuban. And they asked the question, if you didn't hear it, do you think Ted will take over the world? And this was his response.
Rule the world one day?
I hope not.
I agree with Ted Cruz's dad. I hope not. And to be fair, yes, he was a dick, but weren't we all at 18?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that in each of us, I believe.
And I hate to say this.
Do you?
I hate to say
You're
this.
You're going to give me a little credit?
Well, I'm like, this is completely out of context. Mm-hmm. We don't know if this was for like a student film going on or something associated with something that has nothing to do with like his real view on it. Because
say things when you're 18, you're just fucking around.
He could have been like actually like told to improv something like up about like, hey, what? You'd be
it's
funny
kind of a cliche
this.
Thing. It was like, yeah, I'm going to take over the world one day, bro. Yeah. You know, Pinky and the Brain was kind of cool back then.
It was.
There was no Pinky in the Brain when Ted Cruz was 18.
Really?
Maybe.
Really.
I guess I was close to 18, so yeah. Yeah.
What are we going to do tonight, Pinky?
All right.
I don't know.
Same thing we do every night. Take over the world.
North. You should have let me do that.
I should have left that for you, bro.
It's all right.
Yeah, way to step on his tail.
Jason, I'm sorry. Step on his tail.
It's terrible. All right. It's time for some good news, or at least something to uplift.
Yeah.
Canadian paramedics received several calls. Canadian paramedics received several calls of a homeless man sleeping on a bench after snow condition caused locals to confuse a statue for an actual person.
Oh my gosh, it's great. Now, do the paramedics roll up on a horse also?
No. Okay. No, they use vehicles. Hamilton paramedics in Ontario shared a photo of a bronze statue known as Homeless Jesus to inform confused citizens that the work of art is not, in fact, a living person. They tweeted out the photo with and put it on Facebook saying, thanks to those who reported someone laying out in the cold. Thankfully, it's the Homeless Jesus statue. Local officials have asked citizens to alert authorities to people stranded out in the cold during winter months, but paramedics received an influx of calls about the statue, which forced them to respond to the several false reports, saying we've had several 911 calls from well-intentioned passersby who unfortunately did not first stop to determine if someone was truly in need. The dispatch center is required to respond with an ambulance on unknown calls of this nature, rather than simply assuming there's no need for response based on prior experiences there. The statue was created by artist Timothy Schmaltz. It debuted in Toronto before one of 100 copies was placed in Hamilton. So they're all over Canada. Homeless Jesus. So basically, Go over and actually see if it's a person before you call 911. Yeah.
Maybe check. Hey, bro, you okay? Let me get that snow off of you.
But the nice thing, though, is that people cared enough to actually report it and go, hey, there's someone laying out in the cold. So yeah,
we'll take it.
Compared to all the other nonsense we've been dealing with,
it's a little sunshine.
Mm-hmm. At least somebody could go over and offer a blanket to the person or give them a meal. Like,
maybe a little bowl of hot soup.
Or maybe do your research on Homeless Jesus. Not you.
Get ready for some judging. It's time for Cool or Tool.
God damn it, I hate that soundboard. All right, first up in Cool or Tool, Twitter. Twitter, Jason?
Twitter, to not age myself, I'm going to say it's cool. It's cool. It's cool, everybody.
Kareem?
I love Twitter. Cool.
Sam?
I signed up for Twitter because my friend who went to MIT told me to.
Mm-hmm.
Back when the smartphones didn't exist, it was just a text message thing. And I used it maybe 3 times then. And I still have an account and I still don't use it. It literally is a tool that's used by news producers to look at what's happening. I'm going to go with tool.
Twitter's cool.
Thank you.
So much coolness. It's a way for entertainers to interact with their fans.
That's what it is.
And other things like that. Up next in cooler tool, Ted Cruz. Kareem.
Tool.
Sam.
I mean, who doesn't want to be in a, you know, bikini titty film?
Right.
It's kind of cool.
Jason.
Oh, man. Sam, are you just like egging me on? I just want to punch you in the stomach. Tool. So very tool.
Yeah, you're right, Jason. Ted Cruz is a gigantic tool.
God.
And finally in cooler tool, Canadians.
It's called the Great White North for a reason. They're cool, bro.
Jason, what do you think?
Well, since I'm sitting next to a almost a Canadian.
A borderline Canuck.
Wearing a Montreal Canadian shirt.
Yeah. Mr. Hockey Man himself. I would never say in his studio or disgrace it by saying anything other than cool.
Yeah, Canadians, Kareem?
Some of my good friends are Canadian, so I'm going to say cool.
Yeah, Canadians are cool.
Yes.
Except, we could all agree on this one.
Except for Stephen Harper. That guy's a dick.
Yeah, that asshole.
Yeah, there are always exceptions to the rule.
Slappy heads.
That's going to do it for Cooler Tool. Hey, if you're shopping Amazon, please go ahead and click through the website, natedarlingshow.com. Hit that Shop Amazon tab. It helps support the show. It does not cost you anything extra. And we do appreciate you doing that. So thanks a lot for everybody who's been doing it. And if you haven't, come on.
You know, maybe you don't do it every time. Maybe you forget. But if you know you're going to buy a big purchase, maybe a mattress, hey, this would be a great time to do it.
That's a great idea.
You know,
any purchase, the best thing to do is click the link, and then when you go there, bookmark that.
Yeah.
And then you just keep going back to that.
Oh, my God. I should do that to my my coworker's
all your
computer.
Coworkers do.
at their computers. The guy
Let's have a
all
challenge,
the ordering.
Dude.
All of them ordering on Amazon during work
Everyone
hours?
Everyone should email doing that.
We order stuff sometimes from Amazon, especially since they got the
Prime
Now.
They do. Well, they do have the Prime Now, and of course, they have a lot of Front Street Shelter at one point was asking because they had an influx of kittens, and they needed certain items to maintain the care for the kittens. And they put out a thing going, hey, if you want to help kittens, buy this or this and have it sent. So it was a really great way for people to go ahead and donate items without having to go to the store and buy it and carry it down there and all that. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Now, meanwhile, in Maine, Governor Paul LePage, he's a dick. He has a new idea for drug dealers. He wants to take a heads-off approach. That's right.
Did you say heads?
Heads, I said.
Off with his head!
Pretty much. He's in favor of using the guillotine in executing drug traffickers. What we ought to do is bring the guillotine back. We could have public executions. We could even have one, even have which hole it falls in.
This guy is the governor of one of the 50 states of the United States.
One of the original 13.
Yeah.
He is a Tea Party-backed Republican. And he said the death penalty would be appropriate for people who kill Mainers. Here's the problem, though. The state actually abolished capital punishment in 1887. Not 1887. He's said a lot of things in the past, like, if you want my honest opinion, we should give drug dealers an injection of the stuff they sell. He, of course, was found in the national spotlight earlier this month when he claimed out-of-state drug dealers were coming to Maine to sell heroin and impregnate white girls.
Where are the white women at?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much this guy is just saying that he wants to kill black people.
Hold on. Now who's generalizing?
Yeah, you're right.
He said in a subsequent news conference that his use of white girls was a slip of the tongue and blamed the media for blowing his words out of proportion. He meant Maine girls, which is the same thing. Pretty much.
So, white women at?
Jason, Sam, you guys, I really, I kind of think I know where Kareem is on this one.
Uh-oh.
speaking of Canadian guys, a Canadian man intended a birthday gift for his wife. Boudoir photos of himself, and he posted them on Facebook.
Yes!
They were removed from Facebook, violating the social network's terms of service. Brendan Williams from Victoria allowed photographer Masika Allen of Masika May Photography to pose the risque photos to Facebook after having them compiled in a photo book for his wife. The photos quickly went viral, accumulating around 7 million views before they were pulled down. He said, "So unfortunately, someone decided to report my male boudoir photos for nudity, even though he wasn't naked. And Facebook has taken down my post."
That's ridiculous.
Why must someone ruin the fun for everyone? He believes that one photo in particular led to them being taken down. Said, "There was the photo where I'm in the bathtub and I'm fully covered up, but I guess someone was pretty uncomfortable with what they saw and had to report it to Facebook." He later reposted the photos, including the bathtub shot, cropped them to better fit Facebook's terms. He said, "I was extremely disappointed when the photos were removed as he's wearing underwear in the photos, just like all the female models. And there was no nudity in them at all, which is why he decided to repost them."
Oh, so wow, these aren't even gag photos, though. He's actually being sexy for his wife.
He's
gayer than Sam.
That's fantastic.
You know what, Sam?
Taking notes.
The photo in the tub with the glasses, he does bear a striking resemblance to your brother, Joe.
I just saw this picture he's showing here. Yeah, it's striking.
damn it. Sam's going to go out and get some of these made for his girlfriend Valentine's.
I'm not
going to
lie. We've done something like that. You know how I told you about our little trip up the cabin?
Yes.
There's a bear rug, like a bearskin rug, mm-hmm. that lies right in front of a fireplace.
Yeah, it does.
And, you can see his dong a little bit there.
We felt a little inspired.
You're looking too closely.
You're seeing dong.
I see a hint of dong. Yeah. I need to name the episode "A Hint of Dong." We've named the episode, everybody. It's "A Hint of Dong."
There's definitely some hint there. That's not a hint. That's like a fortune cookie.
Now, Sam, I know this is something you would do. Jason, yeah. Just for comedic value, you would do something like this.
Yeah, for comedic value, I'd do something like this.
Would you do something like this to turn on your new bride?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't want her to laugh at me when I'm naked.
You know? Nobody wants to be laughed at when they're naked.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no. And that's what that would inspire. I mean, we're listening and looking at him, and we're laughing about it. Like, I don't even know if like a gay guy, like a guy that was into men, would think that it was sexy.
It reminds me a lot of on Seinfeld, George Costanza did the shoot. Same idea. So, unfortunately. Yeah. I think I've seen that photo before.
I don't want to see it.
Jason, I think you do want to see it.
Oh, God.
It's funny.
That's me.
That's me on a bear rug wearing a furry hat, cowboy boots, and briefs.
Well, right.
In front of a fireplace.
Of course.
That's awesome. There's nothing wrong with that.
Why wouldn't you be wearing Why wouldn't you be wearing that?
Because that was the first person I thought of when you said that was Sam.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Norway, a Norwegian man made a daring effort to save his car after he was awoken by an attempted theft last week when the car owner ran from his home without taking time to dress himself. It's winter, by the way, there. As he grabbed onto the door handle of his Volkswagen Passat as the thief attempted to drive away, the car thief attempted to shake him loose by driving through the snow at speeds as high as 56 miles per hour.
Holy shit.
But the determined owner was ultimately able to make his way onto the roof of the vehicle.
Badass, dude.
He then successfully entered the car by breaking the back window with his knee.
Holy shit, don't fuck with this
what
dude.
What the fuck?
And was able
this
to
guy's a Terminator, dude.
And was able to thwart the thief after running the car into a safety barrier. Now, according to the BBC, local police chief compared the unidentified car owner's daring rescue to an action movie and noted that the sub-zero temperatures made the feat even more impressive, saying Bruce Willis couldn't have managed that.
Nope.
It's not something we would advise people to do, but now that he's done it, well, it's an incredible story.
Speaking of sticking through the thigh, he's lucky his nuts didn't stick to the car.
They probably were. That's
just
why
a drop of sweat on that testy, and you're just peeling that thing off the metal.
Man, that's the worst.
The car owner was taken to the hospital after the incident. suffering cuts on his knee from breaking through the car window.
Dude, that guy's gangster, dude.
On his tip.
That's just dope. I mean, yeah, that guy's awesome.
You said he's in Norway?
In Norway.
Oh, he still has the...
He's that Viking blood, dude.
He's still...
Berserker.
He still has the penis sweater, so he didn't get cold.
Yeah, yeah.
It's it was an amazing story. I'm like, holy crap. That's not incredible. Advisable. Not advisable.
Yeah. I can't wait to do that one day.
Yeah.
You can't wait for it. Well, someone has
50 miles per hour.
The last time someone stole your car that I'm aware of, you were just watching a movie and you walked outside and went, aww.
It was so sad. It was so sad.
That was a rough time for you.
Yeah, that was like that happened literally like a month after I lost my job. Like somebody stole my car.
The worst part of the story was, and you told me this, and I'm sure you remember it, but they found your car.
Oh yeah.
And the thieves had basically stolen the tires, right?
Yeah, they stole the tires.
And
it was probably a gang initiation. I've
and
heard
they
of this.
And they left the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then what happened to your car?
So it got towed to a auto yard. But they didn't put tires back on it before they towed it
there.
So
they just scratched and fucked it.
Yeah, and it became a total loss.
They dragged it onto the flatbed.
That's disgusting.
With no tires.
Yeah.
And this poor son of a bitch then didn't have a car. Because it was what, a mid-90s Accord?
It was a 1999 Honda Civic stick, like, souped up. I got it from Acura, Neo Acura. So it was a good... It was 2006.
It was solid transportation.
It was solid transportation,
but it did not have a ton of.
Yeah, I would still.
The problem is, it did not have a ton of value. So when it got totaled, you didn't get.
It just is like you don't owe any money anymore.
That was the most infuriating part for me was hearing that. Oh, you got your car back. Yeah, but they totaled it. I'm like, what?
It's like, let's lift you up and drop you even harder.
Meanwhile, and people who are around Sacramento and now LA may know Nick Pettigrew, whose car got stolen in Midtown not once but twice, was found both times completely intact. Once it was left at a gas station, and at a certain point the gas station owner called him and said, "Hey, are you going to come pick up your car? It's been sitting here for like 10 days."
Wow.
Both times, and by the way, steal my car once, shame on you. Steal my car twice, shame on me. Put the fucking club on, because he owned a club.
Yeah,
but he did not put it on.
He just kept it in the back seat.
Right.
Well, it could be worse. D. Tyler's car got stolen, and they stole his catalytic converter.
That's bad times.
Yeah.
That is bad times.
Those things are expensive.
He got it back with no catalytic converter.
Right.
That's not great. All right, so Seth Meyers, Late Night with Seth Meyers, did a fake movie trailer for a movie called Boston Accent.
In a town where loyalty is king, where the line between right and wrong is blurred, and justice is anything but blind, one thing reigns supreme.
You all know me. I'm not just a cop. I'm a father, I'm a son, and above all, I'm from Boston.
Boston Accent. Critics are calling the film Boston Accent gritty, emotional, and the movie with the most Boston accents this year. The Politician, with the upscale Kennedy-type Boston accent.
I am the mayor of Boston, and I was elected to clean up this town, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to get my hands dirty.
The townie who says the word bro in every sentence.
Bro, don't tell me to chill out, because I'm cranked up, bro. And I know where you live, bro. And bro, I know where you work, bro. And bro, I know what you drive, bro. A Nissan Maxima, bro.
The hard-nosed detective played by a British actor.
All of these characters, Seth Meyers.
I know he thinks he's wicked smart, but here's the thing, I'm wicked smarter.
And one actor who decided at the last minute not to do a Boston accent at all.
I'm going to go park the car in Harvard Yard.
So let me skip ahead a little bit here in the trailer. So it's a very good trailer, but it's a little long.
All right, what are we meeting? Braintree.
That conversation goes on for 10 minutes. And the only thing stronger than these accents is the love between a man and a woman. Boston style.
What do you want from me, Donna?
I want you to stop treating me like garbage.
Well, when are you gonna stop putting jimmies on my ice cream?
Oh, I'll put jimmies on your ice cream when you stop acting like a prick.
Donna!
See the movie that is being hailed as chock full of aerial shots of Fenway Park.
So check it out if you get a chance. The Boston accent trailer from Late Night with Seth Meyers. All right, food poisoning, terrible thing. Mm. Who's had food poisoning?
I've suffered recently.
We've all had it.
Yeah, I got it from I got it from a muffin, blueberry muffin. It's a famous story.
Oh yes,
I've told it many times. So, having spent over 20 years working on food poisoning lawsuits, Bill Marler simply doesn't eat certain foods anymore. He's an attorney who's litigating suits against Chipotle. After their E. coli and norovirus outbreaks, he was cited in an article by Health Insider outlining what foods he's cut from his diet. So he's won more than $600 million for his clients in foodborne illness cases. He says his experience has convinced him these foods are not worth the risks. So we'll go from 6 to 1.
Is spinach one of them?
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Number 6, unpasteurized milk and juices.
Okay.
So no raw milk and juices, according to him.
Well, so it's like no fresh orange juice then, if no pasteurized. Right.
Right. Has to be pasteurized. For him. I mean, you can roll the dice however you like.
If you're making your own orange juice, you think you'd be all right.
But it's not pasteurized.
Right.
It's not. Okay.
he also will not eat, number 5, uncooked eggs. Uncooked
That's gross
eggs.
Anyways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I would make a meringue. Now,
it's better. The chance of getting food poisoning from raw eggs is much lower today than it was 20 years ago, but he's not taking chances. He's also not eating, number 4, rare meat.
No.
He isn't going to order his steaks any rarer than medium well. According to an expert, meat needs to be cooked at 160 degrees to kill the bacteria that could cause E. coli or salmonella. By the way, if you're going out and having a steak the way a chef likes to prepare it, it's going to be rare.
Yeah.
That's really the way it's best. So I'll roll the dice on that one. Raw sprouts. Raw sprouts on number 3.
I love my alfalfa sprouts.
Mm, yeah. Well, sprout outbreaks are surprisingly common, Sam, with more than 30 bacterial outbreaks in the past 2 decades.
Ah.
That's right.
My turkey bagel cream cheese
30?
Sandwich is going to be ruined now.
30 in the past 2 decades.
So that's not that bad.
Number 2, pre-cut pre-washed fruits and vegetables. He says he avoids these like the plague. Convenience may be nice, but as more people handling and processing food means more chances for contamination, it's not worth the risk. I actually put pre-washed greens in my smoothie in the morning, so living dangerously. And the number 1 food that he will not eat. Sorry, funky, sexy people. Raw oysters. He said he's seen more foodborne illnesses linked to shellfish in the past 5 years than in the preceding 2 decades. The culprit? Warming waters. That's where global warming's going to get you, some bitches.
Shit.
As globally waters heat up, it produces microbial growth, which ends up in the raw oysters consumers are slurping down. So that's what a food poisoning expert says.
I was going to say, barbecued oysters is where to go, man.
Well, that's raw oysters. It says no to.
Yeah, he didn't say anything about oysters Rockefeller.
Right.
I'm not into that. So I'm good with it.
Well, whatever you like.
Oyster shooters? I used to do oyster shooters back
then. I did do an oyster shooter.
Of course you did.
That's where they put it in the alcohol.
It's like, you get like a vodka, pepper vodka.
I had one of those at a sushi place.
Yeah. Right.
Listen, he's just saying as an expert, these are foods he's given up. You can roll the dice on whatever you
want.
Okay.
Yeah, tell you, though, if you're one of the people who work for me, please, please move your experimental ethnic food tasting night to Friday or Saturday.
That is a good idea.
Because then you don't waste a sick day. Because you're not feeling good. Well, maybe you shouldn't have had that odd Korean dish.
I had Ethiopian food one night.
I was going to go with Ethiopian.
No, like from this place that has all you can eat Ethiopian food by where I used to do shows. Like Chris, myself, and a friend of hers, we all went.
On Broadway.
Yeah, no, not that. This is San Diego.
Oh, okay.
At a place. And yeah, but oh my God. Like, I had like the bubble guts, like, like we got on stage like an hour later, and I was just like, my stomach was just like funky as fuck. I was like, I probably would have been okay if I just sat at home, right. You know what I mean? And I just went
waited
home,
out,
I just hung out. No, I mean it would have been fine, but then yeah, I got up and I jostled myself around, and you know, it was
had a little guts. Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah, oh, that's the bubble guts. Yeah, I had the bubble guts.
The bubble guts.
Rumble in the Bronx. Booty.
Oh man. That's horrible. That's like the time I had that kombucha.
Oh, no. Oh, I love kombucha.
Oh, man. That shit made me shit.
Active probiotics. Yes.
It cleaned me out. I didn't realize it was going to clean me out.
Shit's going.
Exactly.
It cleaned. It was like I was a whistle. I guarantee it. If I would have had somebody blow into my mouth hard enough, it would have come out my anus.
You could have just had a colonoscopy.
I mean, this is just as good. Just as good.
Get yourself all squared
I think
away.
The last time I had one of those, that's pretty much what happened to me.
Yeah, man. I mean, in one way, it's kind of cool. Because, right. Like, you know that all this shit
fresh
has come
start,
out.
Dude. You exactly. Feel purged.
You feel purged. This, yeah.
Fresh
but you
start.
have to plan it right, because, like, it started, like, I went and had some awesome barbecue, and, like, in the middle of eating barbecue, like, all of a sudden, it's 4 hours later.
Meal, dude.
It, like, because now I associate it with, like, fried catfish, which was amazing.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing about barbecue. Really good barbecue will have your stomach walking that line anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, has anybody, first of all, has anybody had actual hot chicken from Nashville?
I have.
I figured you would be the person who had.
From the state?
Yeah. Nashville has a dish called hot chicken, and it's apparently different. Kareem, can you sort of describe it?
This is a spicier chicken. It's what they put in the seasoning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I had it in Memphis. So.
Yeah. Well, Kentucky Fried Chicken, or KFC, has what they're calling Nashville Hot Chicken.
Yeah.
And I had to try some.
Oh, yes.
How was it?
You know what? It wasn't that great. It was the regular chicken, and it had a really thick, almost molasses-y type. It was a spicy sauce, but it was very molasses-y and kind of sweet, too.
Yeah.
It's a saucy thing. It's not just like a... Well, the batter.
It depends. I've seen it on TV, and on TV it looks like it's put in the breading almost.
I had this at a place in San Diego. It was like served on white bread with the chicken, and then it had this hot oil that was poured on top of it.
Yeah.
Maybe, and it was a thick oil. It was so hot. Like my, yeah. Went to my butt hurt the next day.
That's
how black people eat chicken in the South.
That's
if
not.
If your butthole doesn't hurt, you're doing it wrong.
That's not what they have at KFC.
It was really good. I'm not going to say it was really good, but I
think. And that's how you get it too, on a piece of white bread.
right.
And honestly, the stuff at KFC wasn't bad. I just don't think it really equates with the actual Nashville hot chicken. But I haven't had it, so I don't really know for sure. So. Yeah, sorry, just had that little
That was
side.
One thing that really sucked about not being able to go home, because that was what I was looking forward to.
Oh, you were all amped up for something like that.
I was all amped up for some barbecue, banana pudding.
Have you been to South?
Yes.
And you're like, no.
Have you been to Burgess Brothers?
No, I haven't been to Burgess Brothers.
Check out Burgess Brothers when you get a chance. Really, on Sutterville Road. A nice little place owned by a couple of twin brothers. I think they're twin brothers. I'm 99% sure they're twin brothers. One's a cop, one's a firefighter. And they have this barbecue place, and they've done very well for themselves. In fact, their barbecue sauce is being sold in stores now around Sacramento. So check them out.
Some stuff at South is cool, but it's not.
The chicken that I got was pretty awesome, but it was just such a huge portion for $15.
It was so much chicken. I got too much food for my $15.
I'm not a fan of
chicken. Where were you found of there?
Was it gumbo or jambalaya, whichever one it is?
The gumbo, my girl. That's what Chris got.
Yeah. All right,
I like their shrimp and grits, bro.
Yeah.
And now the Nate Darling Show takes it to a simpler place. It's time for Small Town News.
You guys have to go to a concert, so we need to wrap this thing.
Sorry, we're having a good time.
It's okay. I know. I'm looking out for you.
Oh, thanks.
Looking out for you. You know what? We've got some small town TV news for you about a gazebo in southern Vermont. With ties to Hollywood.
Yes, I'm Adam Sullivan. It's a gazebo in southern Vermont made famous on the silver screen. But it's in need of repairs, according to police, because of a drunk driver. Eliza Larson reports.
This gazebo has found a place in Townsend's Town Common. Townsend resident Charles Marchant says in its early years, it wasn't very structurally sound.
They had to do some work on it to get it to be you know, substantial enough to withstand the elements, not necessarily cars.
Until Friday night. State police say 71-year-old David Page from Connecticut was driving north on Route 30 when his BMW sedan went off the road and traveled across the town common in Townsend, crashing into the base of this gazebo. Police say Page had been drinking. He was arrested for driving under the influence. There's a lot of damage to the gazebo, a structure the old Vermont town has only had for 30 years.
It was put in as a movie prop.
Funny Farm was Chevy Chase's 1988 film. Where Chase plays Andy Farmer, a sports writer who quits his job, buys a house in the country, and plans to write a novel. The gazebo was built as a prop. Marchant says Townsend residents fought over the decision to keep the gazebo. The town agreed to keep it, but the gazebo needed a lot of work.
The gazebo continued to play a big role in the town even after the film aired in 1988.
Right?
Now, marked with red tape, it's off limits.
Marchant says repair work on the gazebo is done by the Townsend Business Association.
Right.
This time, he expects someone else to pay.
My guess is since they caught the person, I'm assuming there'll be a claim.
In Funny Farm, a car drives into the prop gazebo, but that was a movie stunt. Police say this crash could have been avoided. Eliza Larson, Channel 3 News, Townsend.
Well, technically that one could have been avoided too in the movie.
So the irony is thick.
You know, there was a lot of small town in that story. It was about a small town from a small town reporter about a gazebo.
Oh, my God.
You know, from a movie about a guy going to a small town.
From 1988, by the way.
And, like, probably, like, the one film that you should not watch that Chevy Chase is in.
Right. No. There's plenty of movies that Chevy Chase is in you should watch.
Right. I digress.
Being from Vermont, I found Funny Farm to be mildly enjoyable. You want to know something terrible? Cops and Robbersons.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty horrible.
I was unemployed at the time, had very little money, had spent the money to rent Cops and Robbersons.
I'm so sorry for you.
I turned it off in the middle.
Did you go get your money back?
No. Well, I never imagined that one would do that.
Oh, well, when I was working at the warehouse, if you brought a movie back within like 3 hours of renting it, like I was like, you must have really not liked this movie. You can go ahead and pick a new one.
Yeah,
it was easily one of the worst movies I have ever seen.
Horrible.
It was really terrible. Funny Farm, mildly
entertaining.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would say. But I mean, I don't know how much it's going to hold up from 1988.
It's not.
There was like phone gags because the phone was installed, but it was installed like underneath the hutch.
Yeah.
So like he had to lay down on the floor to make phone calls.
Wow.
Yeah. It's.
Kids these days don't even know what a home phone is.
I mean, it's one of those.
They don't even know what a gazebo is.
No.
What's a gazebo? What's a gazebo? I don't even know what a gazebo is. It's fun
it's
to say.
Fun to say. I was going to say it.
It's absolutely
gazebo.
Fun to say. Fun.
Gazebo.
Gazebo. Kareem, in that sultry voice of yours, please.
Let's hear it.
Gazebo.
Ooh, he had a little accent to it. Some gazebo. Of that Zulu warrior accent on there.
What?
Gazebo.
Gazebo.
Gaze. Boo-boo.
Sweet baby Jesus. All right, I think that's where we should call it a show.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Pet Shop Boys?
It's Capital Cities.
Ah.
The song was on the radio like every 3 seconds about, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think 2 years ago.
Yeah, you'll recognize it when the vocal kicks in.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend.
Enjoy yourself out there. Be safe.
Yeah, have fun.
Have fun.
Don't crash into any gazebos.
Watch out for it.
It's true.
Also, or if you do, at least film it and send it to us.
Yes, nothing and better.
If you eat your steak medium rare, you better be careful about it.
Watch out for the sprouts.
I am not in danger of sprouts. I will say this, the pre-washed greens and the rare meat, that could get me.
You wild man.
It could get me. Never know.
Baby, I'm bringing home the oysters tonight, girl.
You really eat them to their suckers alone if you're trying to get some.
Boom.
Kombucha and oysters tonight.
Guess what you're not doing.
I just have to run to the bathroom real quick.
24 hours later.
Right. Just falling asleep. You're getting text messages in there. What are you doing?
Putting the shower on to get some steam in there, you know? Make it hang in
trying,
there.
Trying to sweat it out. Well, we hope your weekend is better than that. We'll be back next week with some all new episodes of the Nate Darling Show. Until then, enjoy yourself and be safe and sound.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.